He connects things that don't look connectable. When the timing is right and everything is looking wrong.
A lot of people call it coincidence or chance. But Dr. Tony Evans says there's a much better word.
I choose providence. Providence is God hooking things up.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Where we find ourselves in life may seem like the result of how random elements naturally come together. But today, Dr. Evans will give us a look at how much work God puts into the way our lives work out. Let's join him as he explains.
Today, we're going to go on a journey. It's a journey. Because you're going to discover today, as part of this journey, in chapters 5 and 6, you're going to discover God being the author of coincidences. Now, I use that word simply because it's a word we recognize. The real word is providence, but it looks like coincidences. Looks like things just kind of randomly happened. The reason that this is important is because I want to help me and you and us recognize divine things that look like coincidences. Let's review. Esther has been promoted to be queen. Mordecai has told her that Haman wants to kill all of the Jews. And it's now time for you to go to your husband, King Ahasuerus, and tell him Haman's plot against the Jews. Esther has said, I can't do that. It's too risky. I love y'all, but not that much. Because to go before him when he has not requested me could cost me my life. Mordecai has said to her in our previous chapter 4, he said to her, because she was his cousin, I don't think that you saying nothing is going to stop God's program. God will find somebody else, somewhere else, to do what you refuse to do, and his program is still going to go on. It's just you're going to lose out being used to accomplish it. And then he makes the famous statement, don't you know that you are called to the kingdom for such a time as this? That you were only put up here in this royal position because God knew this moment, your moment would be now. Don't miss your moment, girl. This is your moment to be a tool of God to deliver God's people. When she hears that message from Mordecai, she says, okay, I want all of y'all to go on a 3-day fast. I need y'all on your knees for this one because this is a big one. You're asking me to risk it all, and I'm going to go do it, and if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. Because you're right, this is bigger than just me. Now that brings us to chapter 5, where we are today. Chapter 5 opens up, stay with me here, we're going on a journey. On the third day, because it was a 3-day fast, Esther puts on a royal robe. She goes to the inner court of the king. The king is sitting on his throne. And then the king says to her, what is troubling you, verse 3, Queen Esther? And what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom, it will be given you. Just tell me what you want. Esther says in verse 4, if it pleases the king, may the king and Haman, who is out to kill the Jews, come this day to the banquet that I have prepared for him. I'm going to tell you around dinner. So, the banquet is prepared. And they drank their wine, verse 6, at the banquet. So this is a big dinner party for her husband. And the king said to Esther, what is your petition? Okay, you brought me here to dinner. You done fed me good. What do you want? She's got them both sitting there. Dinner is fine. They've been doing their drinking. Everybody's ready to go. He's offered her the kingdom. What do you want? And she says, what I want is for you to come to dinner tomorrow. Something happened between verse 6 and 8 to cause her to change her mind about making her petition. She changes her mind because she doesn't even finish the sentence. She just jumps to, let's do this again tomorrow. Haman is now smelling himself because Haman went out, verse 9, glad and pleased of heart. He's saying, whoa. He says, boy, I was invited to eat with the king and his wife. Boy, this is, I'm really rising on the ladder here. The problem is when he goes out, he runs into Mordecai. Verse 9. And Mordecai would not stand up, not respect him. The man is out to kill him. Mordecai's not going to stand up. Haman was filled with anger against Mordecai. So he already doesn't like him. Now he really ticked off because I didn't come from this party with the king, with the queen. I'm standing before you and you don't recognize who I am. And they just invited me to be with them. You don't know who I am. So he is ticked off, but he controls himself. Verse 10, he doesn't let it. He goes home and tells his wife. He says, wife, Zeresh. He says, let me tell you about my day. I am the man. Look, I'm rich. We got these 10 sons. He says, verse 11, and the king magnified me and promoted me. And I'm above all the servants. And then guess what, baby? Verse 12, Esther, the queen, had me, no one but me, come to be with the king to eat dinner. Oh, yeah, I'm boss. But there is one problem. All this doesn't matter to me because this Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate, and I can't stand it. I can't take it any longer. So his wife says, look, we got to get rid of Mordecai. You build the gallows, and we're going to kill him tomorrow. We're going to kill him. We're going to get rid of him because he's messing with you. He's messing with us. He's made the best day of your life miserable. Build the gallows and let's get rid of him. During the night, chapter 6. During that night, chapter 6, verse 1. The king could not sleep. He tells his servant, go get me something boring to read. Find the most boring things you can find. Because if the more boring it is, the more sleepy it will make me. And you go find me something boring to read. And in fact, the most boring thing you can get is those book of the Chronicles. Get the Chronicles, because all those are names, dates, places, and events. God is so detailed in his coincidences. He leads the servants to the right book. And he makes them read the right page. And on the page that they read, it was found written, verse 2, what Mordecai had reported concerning Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who were doorkeepers, that they had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. That goes all the way back to chapter 2 when Mordecai uncovered an assassination plot against the king, and it just happened to be written in the book, in the Chronicles, on the page from the book that he had them read that night, not a night, that night he could not sleep. Okay, I know it's just luck. I know it's just chance. I know it's just something that just kind of happened. I got that. You've been reading all these names and all these events, but this guy, Mordecai, he saved my life, right? Yeah, king. Well, tell me, verse 3, how did we honor him? How did we tell him we appreciate him for saving the king's life? Servant said, oh, we didn't do anything for him. What? We never said thanks to the man for saving the king's life? No, you know, this is a number of years ago, he saved the king's life, And we just, you know, kind of went on because, you know, we took care of the two guys. We killed them and all of that. And so we just kind of went on. You mean to tell me that man saved my life and I never told him thanks? Nothing? No, king, we didn't do nothing for him. We didn't do nothing for him. On the day Mordecai is supposed to die, he's reading a book with Mordecai's name in it. Just because he can't sleep on that night. Okay, watch this. The king asked in verse 4, I hear somebody outside. Who's outside in the court? It's early in the morning. Who would be up this early out there? Who's there? Who's in the court, he asked in verse 4. Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace in order to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows which he had prepared for him. Wait a minute. Okay, we're talking about that night. Yeah, we're still on the same night here? Well, because it's that night. It's on the night that she had to delay the banquet because she wasn't sure, this is the night I should do this. And it was on that night that he gets ticked off to kill Mordecai. And it was on that night that the king can't sleep. It was on that night that he needed a book to put him to sleep. It was on that night that he turned to the right page that had Mordecai in it. And it was on that night, or the morning of that night, that Haman happens, by chance, luck, happenstance, fate, to be walking into the king's room to talk about killing the Mordecai that the king wants to bless.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more about how God's providential hand can flip the script on any situation, even yours. Right now, though, he's here with a holiday-related thought for us. Dr. Evans?
Hey, just want to remind you about Giving Tuesday, this one time a year when you can give that special gift to help the Urban Alternative proclaim God's word throughout this nation and now around the world. A friend of our ministry has given us a matching gift of $105,000. So your gift to this ministry right now on Giving Tuesday will be doubled in its impact as we challenge people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and help them to grow deeper in their walk with God.
And if you can help us out with a generous contribution in celebration of Giving Tuesday, we'd like to send you the new 10-message compilation we're presenting on the air right now, The Best of Tony Evans 2019, along with 10 more bonus messages you'll be able to download online. It's our way of saying thanks for your investment in us, which enables us to continue investing in you. So visit TonyEvans.org for details before this limited-time offer runs out. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7. One more time, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat all that information for you later on. But right now, let's get back to today's lesson.
Haman comes in. He wants to tell the king, I'm going to kill Mordecai. King's servants say in verse 5, King, behold, Haman is standing at the door. Let him come in. Tell Haman come in. He my number two guy. Let him come in. So Haman came in. And the king said to him, what is to be done for the man who the king desires to honor? Dum 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 dum. What is to be done with the man who the king decides to honor? Now, Haman thinks the king is talking about him. Haman thinks the king is talking about him. He's number two. He's the number two guy in the land. We learned that early in the book. So the king says he wants to honor somebody. So Haman, you know, because he's smelling himself. King want to honor me. Okay. Let me go for the gusto. You want to honor somebody, oh king? Let me tell you what you should do. Here's what you should do, O king. Bring out the royal robe. Let him wear the king's robe. Then bring him the horse on which the king rides. Then put a royal crown even on the horse. Then let the robe and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble princesses and let them array the man whom the king desires to honor and lead him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. King? King, you want to honor somebody? Let me help you out, king. Here's what you do. You take your robe, you put it on this man. You take the king's horse, you let him ride it. Then you tell one of your leading men to lead the horse through the square so that everybody sees how much you feel about this man. Now you have to understand, when you put on the king's robe and you You're riding on the king's horse. And you're being paraded across the square as a representative of the king. You are telling everybody you are the king in waiting. Because he's put his robe on you, his horse on you, and you're being paraded as the next king. So king, for the man you want to honor, because I know it's me, let everybody know he is your understudy. He is the one who's going to replace you when it's over. One word by the king would have changed all this. All the king would have had to say that would have changed the whole conversation is, what should I do for Mordecai to honor him? Because if Haman would have heard the word Mordecai, he wouldn't be coming up with no king's robe and king's horse and lead him through the land and all that. Haman thought the king was talking about him and leaving off that word changes the whole conversation. And so what happens? Then the king said to Haman, verse 10, take quickly the robes and the horse as you have said, and do so for Mordecai the Jew. God is the God of intersections. He connects things that don't look connectable when it's that night. When the timing is hit just right and everything is looking wrong. Esther has had to shift her plan to another dinner. This is not a good day. But she has gone before God. She has acted in faith. And so she's picking up signals that causes her to delay a dinner. She's picking up signals. Signals are going everywhere. But if you're not in touch with the spiritual, you won't pick up the signals. It was God creating an intersection through something that could easily be dismissed as a bad night, as too much pizza, as just I can't sleep, when it's providence at work. Oh, you got God intersecting things all in the scripture. You got 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Saul's father tells him, the donkeys have escaped. The donkeys are gone. Go find the donkeys. That's the U-Haul of the day. Go find the donkeys. They pull the stuff. You go find the donkeys. Saul goes to find the donkeys. He looks. He can't find the donkeys. Can't find the donkeys. He looks. He can't find the donkeys. He gets tired. He says, I'm going home. He tells the servant who's with him, I'm going home. I can't find these donkeys. Servant says, no, don't go home. There is a prophet nearby. What's a prophet got to do with donkeys? Well, that's the father's business. That plows for it. That does the work. So it's his job. It's a career move. What's it? Because see, some of us are having job problems and career problems and things are not working out. And he says, don't go back there. Check the spiritual first. Check the spiritual before you just react to how tired you are. Look into the spiritual first. He says, okay, I'll go check with the prophets about donkeys. I feel like a fool going to a prophet about donkeys. He's going to think I'm, never mind. God told Samuel, there's this dude going to come looking for donkeys. When the dude comes looking for donkeys, anoint him as king. Wait a minute now, how we go from a donkey hunter to king? God creates an intersection where the two meet. And Saul is anointed as king because somebody whispered in his ear, just because it don't look like it's going anywhere, have you checked the spiritual first? Yeah. Ruth just happened to be gleaning in the field. Yeah. Boaz just happens to come across at the exact time she's gleaning. And out of all of that, a widow who could not have children, has a child, gives birth to Boaz. Boaz gives birth to Jesse. Jesse gives birth to David. David is the father of Jesus Christ. And she's in the hall of fame. All because she luckily was gleaning at the right time. God has a way of connecting. Moses' mother put him in a little basket because it was a dangerous time. Sent him down the Nile River, and as luck would have it, Pharaoh's daughter just happened to be bathing, and she looks at the baby, grabs the baby, falls in love with the baby, adopts the baby, raises the baby in Pharaoh's household. Wasn't Moses lucky that his mama put him in the basket at just the right time? Wasn't Moses lucky that the Pharaoh's daughter was the one bathing and not one of the slaves in Pharaoh's house? Wasn't Moses lucky that she happened to be bathing at the exact time that his little basket was floating down the river? I'm telling you, Moses was a lucky fellow. Moses was a child of providence. Because God connects things at the proper time. We have an employee, and I was walking across campus, and we bumped into each other. We just bumped into each other. He's a member. I greeted him and everything. And we greeted. I said, how's it going? He said, oh, not good. They had a cutback on my job. They laid folk off, and I was one of the layoffs. And so we're kind of struggling right now. Oh, what'd you do? He told me what he did. I just talked to HR about what we needed. What we needed was what he did. He lost the job, bumped into me, we needed a job, and God just luckily had him walk across the campus, luckily had me walk across the campus, and bang, we just happened to bump each other by chance. You live on luck if you want to. I choose providence. Providence is God hooking things up. So Haman, verse 11, took the robe, took the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horse back through the city square and proclaimed before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. Then Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman hurried home mourning with his head covered. Told his wife, Zeresh, this is what happened today. This whole thing is reversed. His wife, Jared, says, well, yeah, it looks bad for you, boy. She says, because you've fallen before this Jewish man. Brothers and sisters, this is 24 hours. God is at work when circumstances look uncontrollable. God is at work when life looks unpredictable. God is at work when sin looks unstoppable. Psalm 121 verse 4 says, God is at work when you are asleep. He may be silent, but he is not still. The Bible says, when a man's way pleases the Lord, Psalm 16 verse 7, even his enemies will be at peace with him. God can flip the script, and as long as we have a small view of God, or we refuse to put the spiritual first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If the spiritual is not first, then you're left to figuring it out on your own. And God has got all these answers all over the place, but because the spiritual receiver is off, we don't get the picture. He's not able to plant thoughts, new ideas, new solutions in our minds, because we're so secular in our thinking that we don't pick up the signal. You know the bad part of this whole story for Haman? Is not only does he get a demotion that he himself helped arrange, he leading this Jew. See, the reason he wanted to kill him is because he was a Jew. And Jews don't bow to other than the God of the Bible. And because he wouldn't idolize him, because he wouldn't make a man God. Please don't make a man God in your life. I don't care how much money they have, how much power they have, what position they have, how much they own. There's only one God, and they are not it, and neither are you, and neither am I. There's one God, and you never make a man God. Because then you put God in the position to show that he nor you are it. Why am I telling you that? Because I'm telling you the providence of God can even address racism. Well, don't miss me. The providence of God, because we got racism. He wants to genocide all of the Jews because they are Jewish. It was religion, but it was racism. They were Jewish. The providence of God can handle racism. It was the providence of God in 1955 when a woman named Rosa Parks, who happened to be on the bus, happened to have a man talk to her. She happened to not be willing to get up, which led to a civil rights movement, which changed the laws of the land. God knows how when he gets the right people with the right faith at the right time in the right place to do the right thing, to flip the script even racially.
Dr. Evans will tell us a powerful personal story about that in just a moment when he comes back to wrap up this message he calls Divine Coincidences. If you'd like to hear the full-length version, it comes as a part of our current series, The Best of Tony Evans 2019. As I mentioned earlier, all 10 CD messages in this collection, plus 10 more digital downloads, are our gift to you when you celebrate Giving Tuesday by making a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station and launch into 2020 without having to cut back on our radio outreach and other ministries. Just drop by TonyEvans.org, where you can get all the details and make your donation online. Again, TonyEvans.org. Or you can call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Each of us is born with a God-given purpose. And next week, Dr. Evans will explain why that fact sets us free to put first things first as we rule our lives the way the Lord intended. Right now, though, he has a final story to share with us.
It's about 1969, around 1969. One of my professors in college asked me to go to a church with him, to his church in East Point, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. I go inside the church, and when I walk out of the church, all hell breaks loose because blacks were not allowed in the church. My professor didn't agree with that. He asked me where I would go. I went. I didn't know all this. So I went, and the church went into convulsions because this is, coming off the civil rights era and all that. And they went into convulsions over this black man coming into the church. So they had a meeting about what the church's official position was going to be. And there was a split among the leaders and among the congregation. On the Sunday that I went, they had a guest preacher who was candidating to be their new pastor. I didn't know who was going to be preaching, but he was candidating to be their new pastor. He preached. They had all planned to bring him in. He found out their position in light of me going to the church. He wrote the church and says, I cannot pastor a racist church. So he said, I'm not coming to this church. That split the church even more. From that day forward, the church began to go downhill, 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 until it became a glorified Bible study. 5 years ago, I get a phone call from the chairman of the deacon board. He says, our church has never recovered from that day you came with the professor. And we recognize the reason God has not answered our prayers, the reason God has not rebuilt our church, is because of the racism that we did to you way back in 1969. So I have been asked on behalf of the deacons to call you to apologize to you for the racism we did to you back in 1969. And I have calling you, and I'm humbly requesting, would you come preach? Because God knows the right time to turn a situation around. I'm trying to tell you, you don't know who you're dealing with. I want to challenge you to live under the providential hand of God, even when it looks like it's not working out.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.